Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Deuteronomy 5:29. Clement of Alexandria once wrote, "This is the true athlete, one who is crowned for having victory over all passions in the great stadium, the world. For he who directs the contest is the Almighty God, and he who awards the prize is the only begotten Son of God. Angels and demons are spectators, and the contest, containing all the different exercises, is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual powers of unregulated passions that work through the flesh. Those who master these struggles and overthrow the tempter win eternal life. The spectators are called to come to the contest, and the athletes contend in the stadium. The one who has obeyed the trainer's directions wins the day, for the rewards God offers to everyone are equal, and he is indisputable. His judgment is always right. And those who have strength receive mercy, and those who have exercised willpower are mighty. And also we have received intelligence so that we might understand what we are doing. The command, 'Know thyself,' means to know what we were born for. We were born to obey the commandments if we are willing to be saved. The athlete who has obeyed the trainer's directions wins the day. Man's duty, then, is obedience to God, one who readily receives and keeps the commandments and considers them appropriately is faithful. Clement of Alexandria is considered as one of the early church fathers. He was a philosopher who became a Christian through his studies. He spent a lot of time traveling and seeking knowledge, and his travels eventually brought him to Alexandria, where he sat under some of the best teachers in the world at that time, and from them he received vast amounts of scriptural knowledge, and eventually teaching others himself to seek and to know the Lord, and come into understanding of his greatness, power, and majesty. The entry that I shared with you above comes from a daily devotional called Day by Day with the Early Church Fathers. Over the years, I've come to believe that we miss out so much of what history has to teach us, and with no regards to its messages to us today, we're bound to repeat it. Just because we have printed books, we have the internet of all things, that we have different weapons of war or means to supply and grow food, or that we drive cars instead of walking or riding horseback or ride in airplanes or spaceships, and just because we have a more modern lifestyle, it doesn't mean that we are different people. Unfortunately, we are the same as the generations that have passed on before us, spiritually, that is. We are greedy and arrogant, thoughtless and cruel and rebellious, and we want more than we need and need more than we suppose. Many think too highly of themselves, and many think too little of themselves. There are those who seek total control and those who have been beaten down so badly that they are willing to do whatever it takes to just be left alone. But the enemy of all, the leader of the spiritual battle, who himself is a fallen creature, he will not rest. And for generations he has sought out the weak to control. He has sought out the power hungry who have given up all sense of morality to achieve their goals. He has caused infirmities in the proud and scarred those who do not believe that he is real. And so they continue in their day-to-day existence filled with anxiety, fear, and their hope lies within one and within another who, like them, is just a man. Because of this enemy of God and of humankind, man has lost his fear of God, the only one who can rescue him from evil and from the deceitful ways of the enemy, the only one who can reconcile man back to himself. Clement of Alexandria made mention of the world as a stadium, that the battle that we fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual powers of darkness, of unregulated passions that work through the flesh. These we find driven by hearts in rebellion, by turning away from and the open disregard for the word of God and the commandments that he has laid down for the generations to live by and with one another. Just try to imagine a place where there's no murder, no adultery, no stealing, no false accusations or testimonies against your neighbor. A place where truth would stand and be heard. Where there is not jealousy and envy, coveting your neighbor, wanting those things that belong to him. Where once again the Sabbath day is kept holy, and there would be no sporting events or dance recitals or events that would take our attention away from a day of worshiping the Lord our God. Just think of some place where you could walk down the street or down the aisle of the grocery store or out at an outdoor event or even just sitting on the beach and you would not hear the Lord's name taken in vain or the use of profane words that come out of the mouths of babes, out of the mouths of the young children these days. Think of a people who would gather not around an idea or an event, but would gather together to praise and to lift up one another before him and to pray for one another and to give of themselves without expecting anything in return and try to think of a place where the one true God is worshipped, the creator of all that is or was or ever will be. Try to think of a place and a people who are committed to the one true God. And with thankful and grateful hearts, praise him for the work of his hand, for the sacrifice he made to save them, to redeem them, to praise him for being who he is in the wisdom that he has blessed us with through his words and his ways, as we learn and live together. Try to imagine such a place. There is one. Heaven itself is such a place. Because knowledge of eternity is written on the hearts of mankind, everyone seeks to go there, to go to heaven. There you will find rest, experience true peace and real love. It has been shown to all who would receive it while time on the earth guided them, but we are not able to grasp the fullness of it because of daily struggles here and the incapacity to give over fully everything to God. And to witness the fullness of his glory while here yet on the earth. The Lord says, "Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commandments always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever." Generations now have turned their back to God, and the word of God now has been deemed by some as myth, as fairy tales, as the words of a make-believe God. One of many, and not worthy of the time to contemplate them or to gain understanding of who the one who gave them and of whom they are written about. Many are threatened by these very same words, because to them it means change, and they want to stay and be accepted just as they are. Today, the preference to athletic events overshadows the gathering of God's people. It is not the time and the ability and the work of the athlete that all takes place behind the scenes that the spectator thinks about, but the entertainment value that the event draws them into. Training for events takes practice. It takes time. It takes suffering and perseverance. And so it is as the journey of each Christian that enters into the world stadium. They find the competitor for their soul has throughout the generations practiced and perfected the art of deceit and how to take down an opponent. How will the Christian grow stronger and wiser and more aware of his opponent? It's in their training and in the time spent in prayer with the coach, the Holy Spirit, and in time spent by reading and meditating on the words of God, being in the Bible, the playbook, by time spent in service to him, getting down on the field and playing by obeying his commands. Training through obedience to God is a man's duty, his purpose. We were created in his image, in his likeness, and with the ability to commune with him. Ponder on that thought alone. It is not only in the call out to him to save us, but to each of us, when we come into the realization of our need of him, it is then the lying down of our lives for the sakes of those that will follow, to them and with them, that it would go well forever, he reminds us. Many will give up everything that they know to be true for a moment's recognition, and in that they lose themselves and lose sight of those things of greater importance, our relationship with the Lord our God. This journey isn't about us. It's about him. He is the creator, the sponsor. He awards the prizes, and he calls forth each of the participants to claim their reward, their prize. And whether they finish the race strongly or just managed to get across the finish line, or that they disqualified themselves or sat as spectators during the event, all participated in some way and all will be rewarded in some way. And so I ask you, what are you training for? What is the prize that you hope to attain in this life? And what will it take for you to get up and get out of the bleachers and participate on the field of battle? Today is one day. Today is today. But we can change and influence tomorrow. May this cycle of rebellion be changed, beginning with us. Lord, let revival begin today within me, within us. And may the joy of it come together as we lift up and encourage one another to finish the race and to finish it strongly. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Amen.